This episode is sponsored by Masterworks.io, where you're invited to join an exclusive community investing in blue chip art. Visit Masterworks.io, promo code DHU.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
Well, that started off right on time.
Yeah,
6 o'clock on the money. Mm-hmm. Today, by the way, is April 13th, 13th of April.
Yep. Is there any superstitious anything for that date, something?
I don't think so.
Mm. Well, we have a lot going on in the markets. We have a very busy show to talk about all the things that are happening. We have a markets in rally mode with very low volume. As a matter of fact, on Friday was the lowest volume of the year and followed on Monday by just ridiculously low volume. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. We'll see.
We've seen it before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to mean anything.
It doesn't. They try to make it mean a lot, in the news. The only thing that I can tell you is that there is a, it's kind of a sign of maybe summer's approaching, money's exhausted potentially. You know, if you have markets that are down on low volume, everybody's like, oh, don't worry about it. Low volume, everybody's, you know, that's just nothing. It's a quick, but if it's up on low volume, everybody's like, don't worry. You know, we'll it's kind of a two-edged sword. Air is coming out of the spec plays, definitely seeing that there is some movement in the Momo space. It's caught up a little bit today, but the SPACs are getting whacked. And Bitcoin and crypto is ramping. Just absolutely all-time highs for Bitcoin and Ethereum and a few others that even Ripple that was pulled out of the markets was up, I think, by about 100% in the last 2 weeks. Mm. We have an update on the COVID shot number 2 for yours truly.
Oh, yes. You got your second shot?
I got my second shot this morning. They tried to call me and tell me, oh, even
is
though
just the Moderna or the Pfizer? I forget.
The Pfizer.
Okay.
So even though that my card said April 13th, they said, no. The bottom line is that you were going to reschedule you. I said, well, why is that? Well, you know, you come at Thursday at 3:45. I said, I will not. I'm coming the first thing in the morning. Get it over with. Well, we don't know if we have room for you. I said, listen, do I have to make this appointment? Well, no. I said, what if I just show up? Well, we'll see. I show up. I show my card. They're like, yep, sir, go right through. You're fine. So I got the shot, my arm, I'm getting the exact same kind of after effects that I got last time, which was my arm starts hurting, you know, just where the shot is. I feel like somebody punched me in the arm, okay?
That's what you said last time.
Yep, and then I started getting a little achy towards the evening, a little bit cold, which is exactly where I am now. And overnight, I spiked a little bit of a fever that day into the next day. And then had about 101 the following evening. And that was kind of it. So I have a feeling it's going to progress through the same pattern.
Yeah, probably.
Yep. But we do have a limerick related to this coming up.
Oh, a limerick, a COVID limerick. Uh-huh. This could be a whole new series of limericks. Yeah, we can do those.
Yep. Earnings season is about to be getting underway next week. Financials are out of the gate first. We have a whole list of companies that we'll talk about in a second that are going to be reporting starting tomorrow. And a quick public service announcement for all of you out there that have not funded their IRAs yet. The good news is that you have now until May 17th instead of April 15th this year. But get on it because a lot of people are looking to fund and open their accounts. And you don't want to be late. Some suggesting that the markets are flashing amber. It's kind of an amber alert for the markets, I guess. And you have a new Substack article, which we're going to talk about images and politics.
Yes.
All right. Market update. Inflation. So the PPI comes out last Friday. Hot. I mean, hot. 1% month over month. I think it was 4.6% year over year, which is exactly what we expected. We talked about that base effect. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Market's like, okay, it doesn't matter. Then we saw CPI come out today, CPI came out at 0.6 and a 2.6 year over year. So that was above the expectations of the markets. And at first, we saw the usual happen. The rates went up a little bit. NASDAQ started coming in. The Dow went up a little bit. Until everybody said, oh, you know what? I remember watching Powell on the 60 Minutes this weekend. And he said, don't worry about it. It's going to be temporary.
And what he said.
He said, it's, you know, the same thing that he talks about all the time. You've seen him. He's like the White House press where they have, or anybody that's speaking at the White House, they have that book that they can quick flip to on any subject really quickly and just read. He does the same thing.
It's called the binder.
The binder. So he has the same thing. And he was basically delivering the script, you know, the same thing that we believe it's a transitory. And
so these guys just can't talk off the top of their heads. They have to look something up in a binder just to say something simple.
Pretty much. But Powell has it memorized. I'll give you that. It's like that movie with Denzel Washington where he memorized the Bible. Remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh, that was a great movie. Futuristic movie that books were nowhere to be found. They were looking for books. The Holy Grail was to find the original King James Bible. And the only one that was left was in Braille. And everybody got all upset about it. But then he went, and the end of the story is that he went and repeated it word for word. And they actually typed it up, all of it, into a new King James Bible.
Yep. So in other words, they didn't have any books, but they had typewriters.
Seems that way, yes.
Interesting society.
Yeah, right. The Book of Eli. I thought it was a good movie. And so the CPI came out the hottest in years, and the NASDAQ ended up churning higher to an all-time high today as bonds came in, yields were down, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down. So a really weird flip-flop today with the fact that we saw the CPI was really hot, but everybody's just discounting and saying, well, that's good. You know, it's not 4%. It's only
whatever
2%.
It is.
It's good. It's all good. Right. It doesn't matter. It's news. Buy. Well, what's the news? It doesn't matter. It's news. Buy. Earnings coming up this week. We got Wells Fargo tomorrow. Bed Bath & Beyond, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Pepsi, Citigroup. We have Delta Airlines and Taiwan Semiconductor all this week. That's just the next few days. So there's going to be a lot of interesting movement.
It's going to be rocking.
Yep, exactly. We had a strong, it's actually 20, this is a note, but it's a 30-year auction today. Yields dropped. People really wanted to buy, so they bought up the bonds. April is Financial Literacy Month. So you're getting your dose right now by listening.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, we talked about on the Discipline Investor podcast, the step-by-step process, kind of baby steps into getting yourself into financial independence and security one day. That was kind of the topic this week.
Or just skip the whole process and buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's what most people do.
Yep. Let's see here. Crypto is surging. We talked about Dogecoin up 1,750% year to date. How do you like that?
Wow.
That's pretty good for a nothingness, just because it's being pumped and dumped. Elon Musk doing a lot of that too. All right.
Yeah, because he needs the money.
he said he bought it for his son.
Yeah, because his son needs the money.
Correct. No, of course. I mean, you know, you got to make sure that by the time he's 15, he's got, you know, $10 billion. Take over. Fed speak. So I was thinking about something really interesting, and you remember this because you were there, of course. You're involved with all this, but kind of looking at the Fed in a different light for a moment. Because back in 2008, 2009, if you remember this correctly, the Fed was just absolute about keeping interest rates down for a long period of time. And they made all sorts of excuses, mainly that they had to meet their two mandates, one being price stability, which is inflation and prices, and, of course, markets, and the other one is the employment mandate to get to full employment. And back then in 2008, 2009, all the way through really to 2015, 16, it was all about, hey, our inflation is not hitting the targets. Back then also, if you remember, one of the things that happened was they said, hey, you know, we're at a 10.5% unemployment. We're in bad shape at the depths of the financial crisis. And we are going to wait until we get to a 6% unemployment rate before we start hiking rates. As soon as we hit 6%, they said, you know what? Inflation's low. We really need to get to 5.5, then 5, then 4.5. Then they got to 4. And finally, they kept saying the whole time, even though they hit their full employment, more people working than ever before, they didn't get to their inflation number. So therefore, they can keep on keeping on with relatively low rates. Remember all that?
I do remember all that. It was hilarious.
Yep. Now what's happening is they're reversing all that. They say, well, you know, even though inflation is up, we didn't hit our employment rate yet. And that is going to allow us to keep on buying bonds at $120 billion per month. And also looking at the continuation of keeping interest rates at ZIRP, zero interest rate policy, down at the zero bounds. And they're going to do this until unemployment gets lower, no matter what inflation is. So I guess the moral to this story is they're going to do the same thing they did where they moved the employment targets back then. They're going to use the inflation targets now. And they already did it already. They went from a 2% to an inflation averaging. So there's no plan. The whole plan is just let's keep interest rates low as possible. Keep on buying bonds to keep funding the bond purchases at ultra low rates to make sure that we can push out all this debt. And I don't understand why everybody fawns all over the Fed.
Wasn't this the same thing that the Japanese were doing before their market collapsed back in the 80s, I'm thinking?
They did this and they're still doing this. That's the funny thing about this.
Once you start doing it, I guess it's enjoyable.
You can't stop.
But it did create this problem with the Japanese market. It became just stagnant.
Right. They had the real estate crash back then and long-term capital management. Highly speculative. That's when they bought Pebble Beach. Remember they bought Pebble Beach? And I think they bought Rockefeller Center.
They bought Rockefeller Center. I don't know that the Pebble Beach deal went through.
Oh, well, at least it was rumors of it. But they were buying everything. There was so much money.
My favorite part of it is they did buy Rockefeller Center. And then after, I think it was three, maybe less than 5 years, because of the maintenance, the cost of everything, they walked from it. They didn't even sell it.
Who took it back? The original owners?
I don't know. The banks, I guess. They were losing their ass on it, owning it. They just walked. They also bought up half of Hawaii. And the joke about the half of Hawaii, I think they bought half of Hawaii during the era where there's all the jets going to Japan had to stop in Hawaii to refuel.
Uh-huh.
And then they came up with all these long haul jets that would just go straight to Tokyo, and then that would kill the Hawaii market. They just screwed up a lot.
Well, the central banks will be they'll play both sides. One will be, they will be the savior, and they will be also the wrecker. You know, they're a wrecking ball, very blunt instruments. And what happens is they will push until they can't push anymore, and then they'll break the markets. That's what they do every time. Then they'll come in and save it again, and they'll break it.
No, it keeps them, gives them something to do,
I suppose.
Keeps them busy.
Yeah. Well, now there's a whole movement on racial diversity and general diversity.
In the banks?
No, in the Fed.
In the Fed.
Yeah, it's only a bunch of old white guys that are running all that, you know? We got to get everybody of color in there, and women and men. Oh, hey, by the way, I have a question for you. Totally, now we're talking about diversity here. I got an email from my CPA, and he wrote me just, you know, hey, Andrew, this and this and this and this. And then I noticed his new signature on his email with his pronouns on there.
You have a CPA that's telling you his pronouns because you don't know? Is he planning a sex change?
I don't know. I'd
get rid of that guy immediately. Any CPA who puts his pronouns on his mail to me is, I'm done with him.
Him, he, they.
They, it, and above.
Yeah, but and there was no you. You, is you allowed? You, Y-O-U?
No. There's just two. You just have he, him, or she, whatever.
Is it
two? There's just two. You have the one use and the other use. So I don't,
Is the reason for that, call me an old codger, but is the reason for that—
you're an old codger.
Yeah, thanks. Is the reason for that is that they're concerned for me or they're concerned for themselves?
I'm thinking it's a concern for themselves because they don't want to be mispronounced. They don't want to be misgendered. That's the word. They feel obliged to tell you this because they don't want to be misgendered.
I know now, this somebody, guy. There's no way you think he's misgendered. There's no way.
Well, I don't know why we do it then. I mean, it makes sense to put your pronouns down if you are someone that could easily be misgendered. But if you're somebody that you've known the guy forever and he's a guy and you know, he hasn't decided to change his sex or gender, I should say, not his sex necessarily. There's no reason to put that there. I think it's silly.
I think that I'd prefer.
I'll get there. You can send notes to me. I don't care. I'm old enough to say I think it's silly because it's.
I think I'm going to put on mine adjectives.
Adjectives. There's no adjectives to put down.
Jerk. Asshole. Great. You know, put down my adjectives. Can I
if
do that?
If you put those down, they're going to be thought of as your gender.
Oh, really? Oh.
Your pronouns. They're your pronouns. They're going to be your pronouns because you can't, unless you're trying to break the system, it's silly.
I think
that's as silly as the whole thing with this guy.
So I think what happened was.
We can go on and on about this, I guess.
His firm was bought by a bigger firm, and I think the bigger firm had a.
Oh, they probably require it. Yep,
that's what I'm thinking. That's probably
that guy should quit the firm.
Yeah.
You're a CPA. I mean,
yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. More Fed speak on the Sunday night presser on 60 Minutes. And you know, things are getting a little crazy when you have to have Fed Chairman Powell on 60 Minutes and speaking six times during the week. You know, that they're really, really trying to change.
That's a bad sign now that you mention it.
Right. Worse could be on the cover of something. Man of the Year. That would be
cover of Sports Illustrated would be worse with his new pronouns.
Yeah. Yeah. Him, he, it.
No, she, it.
I think that what he said was really interesting. He said, I think it's highly unlikely that we would raise rates anytime this year, he told a 60 Minutes journalist, Scott Pelley, in a broadcast on Sunday evening. So let's just break that apart for a second. I think it is highly unlikely. Whoa, hold on. Unlikely. They've been talking about not thinking about raising rates.
This is right. It's just short of a guarantee.
Yep. They're starting to
lose. We guarantee we're not raising rates for 3 years.
Right. But then this, where I think it's highly unlikely.
That means it's going
to
happen.
Yep. That's all of a sudden, it seems to me to be a little bit of a change in the whole narrative there. Slipped in on a Sunday night.
Well, this is what, this is the new administration. This is what Biden did about the leaving Afghanistan.
We clipped
him saying, it was just short of saying, if we ever leave, then it'll be done in a certain way. But it's now, you know, a guaranteed leaving in May, which is what Trump promised.
They just changed it today. And and this is on our show notes. So I'm going to tell you this is we're here. What date did he pick? The exact, not May, not June, not July, September 11th.
Biden?
Yep. Biden
announced. He picked September 11th?
September 11th, 9/11.
Why?
I guess it stands for something. It's making a statement. We believe that we were wrong.
What's the statement?
Well, go back to 9/11. You know, 9/11, you say something, you say 9/11 to people, they know what that is. It brings back.
Yeah, but it's a date that lives in infamy. It's not a date you would, you know, okay, whatever. There's I don't know what he's thinking or whoever came up with that idea.
Well, whoever came up with that idea, I'm so sure somebody else said, hey, do you really want to do it that date? I mean, you know, there's other things that go on, like that reading of the names. And we know, the moment of silence and the flags at half-mast.
Okay, well, I missed that. I didn't realize that Biden had put a date out, which is always condemned for being, you shouldn't put a date out.
We'll be out of there by September 11th. Okay.
Well,
Just to finish up on yields here for a minute, what to watch on yields, what to watch for. Current yield of the 10 years at 1.62%. 2% is a concerning level. If we get that, we see more hot inflation numbers come out and lumber prices continue higher and all the other stuff. And the other thing that happened in the inflation numbers, they're talking about, well, 50% or so of the rate hike or the interest rate move for inflation was because of fuel prices. So they make it sound like it's a discount factor that, you know, not a big deal.
I thought those were never to be incorporated into the inflation rate. Am I wrong?
No, they're in the top line, not in the core. So you usually have inflation and inflation X food and energy.
Okay.
2% is a level that you need to watch for. 1.5% probably the floor. 1.75% is the top end of the inside range. So, you know, tech stocks and some of the higher PE stocks are probably going to have problems at the 2.25% range, I would say, somewhere around there. So that's something to kind of just keep a watch on.
Why are tech stocks going to have a problem at that level?
Tech stocks do better when interest rates are low, because I think we talked about this a few weeks ago about how the capital asset pricing model works with the input of a risk-free return without getting too boring. But basically, I'm just going to sum it up. The lower the risk-free return, a la the 2-year or the 10-year bond that use an input, the more the valuation can be skewed to the upside because of the opportunity to earn more money in the future. So when you add a discount model and you look at, let's say, earnings and you discount it back and you put in a risk-free rate of return in that calculation, the lower interest rate will pump up your valuations, saying it's a better time to an alternative to invest in. It kind of supports higher valuations.
Okay.
So that's where that comes in. ESG scam update. So we've been talking about this for how long? 2 years now, this whole ESG shenanigans?
Goes on forever.
U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission on Friday said that it found potentially misleading claims and inadequate controls around investing, environmental, social, and governance issues in a review of investment advisors and funds. The regulator warned that it has a review has turned up a range of issues where stated approaches of funds or advisors did not match their actions. So anyway, point here is, without getting too in the deep on this, is that finally somebody's coming to the rescue to say, hey, you know what? You can't just say that you're ESG and that you are maybe socially conscious, or that you are really working on only environmental and you're only buying stocks that are environmentally sound due to blah, 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 when you're really not doing it. Because it's a big buzzword. Big.
Announcing talk that is cheap, in other words.
Yeah, of course it is. But it's also a scam. It's also a whole scam. It's a whole cottage industry that has cropped up with rating services that are going out and selling their ratings now.
Okay.
And, yeah. You know, what's the firm's ESG score? And they're selling it and buying these stocks. There's indices that are based on it. It's crap. Microsoft is buying the speech recognition company Nuance Communications. Huge premium. I thought this was kind of interesting. The forward PE of Nuance is 61. And it's a $16 billion total price tag for a company that has slowing earnings growth and negative EPS trailing 12 months.
Microsoft has been in and out of different companies for years that do speech recognition. They ended up with a lot of patents after one of them collapsed. I can't remember the name of them now, but there's been a number of these guys, and they've come and they've gone. Microsoft always gets into it somehow, and nothing ever comes of it. I mean, you still have the same, I'd say mediocre speech recognition that Microsoft employs. Although everyone likes to say that Cortana is the best, but I don't see any evidence of it.
I would request that Microsoft turn back the offer and they can pay us $500 million, nice discount, and we will build you a speech recognition company or a speech recognition that can be worked for your doctor's visits and customer service calls and voicemails. Don't you think we could do it for $500 million?
I would hope so.
This company reported a $7 million net income on $346 million in revenue in the fourth quarter. What kind of margins are those?
It's silly. It's the funniest thing I've heard for a while.
And they're paying $16 billion for this. So
Microsoft used to be very tight about buying companies left and right. And they would, you know, when they bought, I think it was WebOS or the name of that or whatever that one, I think it was the most they ever spent. It was less than it was like 400 million or something. They really never liked buying the, now they're starting to throw money around like crazy. Like they're crazy.
I mean, last time they spent something like
money
this,
away.
They bought LinkedIn. That was the last big buy like this. I think it
was. That was another overpriced product.
The LinkedIn they probably did well with, but I just don't understand what they have. They seem to have, it's not like they're starting from scratch on speech recognition. You know, they're definitely not starting from scratch.
No,
so
of course not.
They could pump, you know, fill it up with another 500 employees and just build it. Poach from Nuance. I don't know. Seems there must be something more to this that I don't understand.
There's got to be something more to the story. Yeah. There's a patent or they got a gotcha in there. Something going on. We don't know.
Maybe it's a lawsuit against Microsoft or something like that for utilizing their patented stuff and without bringing it up in a lawsuit.
Yeah, that's a trick that the tech companies like to do that. They find that they are impinging on somebody and they just buy the company.
Yep, exactly. Follow up on China. China's competition watchdog is adding staff and other resources as it ramps up efforts to crack down on anti-competitive behavior, especially among the country's powerful companies. And Alibaba was forced to pay $2.8 billion due to monopolistic behavior. And once that came out and the whole thing was over, finally, supposedly, you know, and we know what this is. This is ransom. This is ransom. The Chinese government said, you know what? You're making too much money. You opened your mouth, Jack Ma. You know, I don't like what you're doing. And you know what? You're going to pay now. Stock was up 5.5% on that news, but down and held down for a while on this. Now, at the same time, Beijing is planning to bulk up its state administration. Wait, John's not there anymore. John left. Can't hear me. John, where'd he go? Maybe I'll log back in, but I'll keep reading this. Where was I? They're planning to bulk up the state administration for marketing regulation. And it comes as they're going to have a sharp increase in fines and expanded criteria for judging a company's control of a market. Where did John go? I can't call him back because it's on a Zoom meeting. I think they're just looking for payday on that. Okay, John, where'd he go? Looks like his internet went out or something like that. Should I go on? Talk about Amazon and the unions? Should I just maybe do a quick, I have some COVID news coming up. That's kind of interesting. Yeah. All right. Let me just mention Amazon versus the unions. Amazon on secured enough votes to defeat the unionization of the Alabama warehouses, delivering a blow to organizations labor who hope to unionize the Amazon facility for the first time. Okay. John is back. That's good news. Whew. Everybody was so worried about you.
I had to, my Sonic network went dead and I went to Comcast.
That's what happens when you start talking bad about Microsoft. We know the drill.
It could be.
We know the drill.
A weird coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Always. We talked about Amazon a little bit, but I wanted to take a second before I have some COVID news to talk about. Some this very disturbing news about the South African variant and Pfizer, which I think is this.
Oh, brother.
I'm going to give you something that's going to tie in for your next no agenda, by the way. Before we do that, I want to talk about Masterworks because there was a recent Bloomberg study that showed the average price of the NFTs, you know, those non-fungible tokens, have tumbled almost 70% from their peak in February. So a lot of people are wondering, like, what do I do? You know, if I want to buy art and all that, and I was thinking about doing this, but there's a lot of volatility. Well, a lot of people could consider putting money into real tangible art by established blue chip artists. And that's where Masterworks.io comes in. Masterwork.io lets you invest in physical blue chip art by top artists like Monet, Basquiat, Picasso via SEC qualified Reg A offerings. And you don't have to worry about these artists ever minting new works, and supply for blue chip art as it's constantly declining, you know, as it works from public to private hands like museums and foundations. And interestingly, over the last 25 years, contemporary art prices rose 13.6%, had a lower loss rate than gold, and a 0.01 correlation factor to equity. So head to masterworks.io today. Use the promo code that I'm about to give you to skip the 10,000 person wait list. So you go to masterworks.io, use the promo code DHU. See important information at masterworks.io/disclaimer. There you go. All right. So back to COVID. It seems there was the coronavirus variant, mutation, whatever you want to call it, discovered in South Africa, can now break through the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine to some extent. Now, what's interesting about this was that it was a study done in Israel. And patients who had received two doses of the vaccine, the variant's prevalence was the rate was 8 times higher than those unvaccinated. So that makes me feel good.
Yeah, you're safer being unvaccinated.
Right. But here's the interesting part about this. Maybe a weird coincidence. I don't know. Pfizer has halted shipments of coronavirus vaccines to Israel in outrage over the country's failing to transfer payments for the last 2.5 million doses it supplied to the country. So I kind of think that's really weird.
Yeah, it sounds like a public relations war.
Yeah. You have all of a sudden this breakthrough. It can go around the spikes or whatever it does. And then all of a sudden you find out, but yeah, wait a minute. Pfizer's not sending anything to them, so they're pissing them off because they got aggravated because Israel hasn't paid for 2.5. I'm sure it's just their QuickBooks accounting that's not working. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is on the warpath against this whole COVID stuff, Thursday said the state will issue a lawsuit against the Center for Disease Control and Prevention demanding cruise ships be allowed to resume sailing immediately. What do you think about that?
Well, DeSantis is an apparent troublemaker.
Yeah.
You hate him for some reason.
I don't hate him. I don't hate him at all. I just don't like him, but I don't hate him.
It's an interesting, somebody in this office, somebody saw that there's probably an opportunity here to sue him, sue the CDC for this, whatever they've done. I don't know whose decision it is and who, I don't know that they're prohibited the cruise lines from going to Florida.
Yeah, all cruises are shut down from mainland.
Yeah, I know they're shut down, but why can't they just start up and go to Florida on their own? I mean,
they're in Florida. They just can't take passengers.
Why?
Because the CDC said that there's a
stoppage. CDC is not the hand of God. The CDC doesn't, you know, the CDC is not a
lawmaking body,
a legislative body.
But yes. They do also. How is it that the CDC has allowed for forbearance of rent and mortgages? That was a CDC decision. How did they even do that?
Well, I think that they suggested, and I think that the government followed up.
What's that noise?
Hear that? You hear that?
Yeah, I do.
It's a noise. It's some guy going down the rail tracks with carrying like 3 passenger cars, honking like crazy for no good reason, just to annoy everybody in the neighborhood.
I don't know.
I like the guys who do it at 3 a.m. It's very funny.
I think DeSantis has a point here. And I think that there is something to be said about that. The only problem with cruise ships is, I mean, before COVID, you had to be worried about the norovirus, right? I mean, people are very...
Or Legionnaire's disease. They've been hit by... But norovirus is rampant on a lot of cruise ships, yes.
I know.
You ever had noro?
No. It's bad, right?
Well, no, it's actually kind of humorous. You lose about... I'd say you lose 5 to 10 pounds. In 48 hours. It's a 48-hour thing. It's just, it hits you so fast, there's really nothing you can do about it. And it just ends. It's just the damnedest thing you've ever had.
Hmm. I don't want it.
It involves a lot of throwing up and diarrhea.
Oh.
Let's just simplify it.
No, this is bad news.
For 48 hours.
Right. And finally,
and
in
boom,
the
nothing.
In the COVID space, J&J is their vaccine has been halted due to the rare blood clotting. Now, I know on No Agenda, which you can listen to every Thursday and Sunday at 12 with Adam Curry and John Z. Dvorak, you've talked about that a lot of what's going on with AstraZeneca, for example, is all a incredible and from a twisted mindset, admirable PR campaign pushing Pfizer in front and getting rid of all the competition.
Yeah, that's what we believe, because it's just too many coincidences that all point to Pfizer.
And now
it's
J&J.
It's like fabulous marketing is the way I personally see it.
Yeah. I mean, are you really surprised that we're going through this and there's things that are happening? This is the kind of stuff that would happen during a normal process of a vaccine development and through the various phases of regulatory requirements to get them approved, right? We just short-circuited that, so we're seeing more of this. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's. I think.
I don't think it's a good thing at all, because it's just some one company pushing their agenda on everybody.
Well, I would bet that J&J will be back on the market in a week.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
J&J's no slouches.
Yeah, of course. And they were the easier one, just to get one shot. And now I happen to know two people who got the Pfizer shot, who were about 60 years old. Healthy people. This is last week this happened. One had a mini stroke. Now, we don't know if it's from the shot, the vaccine or not. And one was walking down the stairs, felt dizzy, went to the hospital, and had a unruptured aneurysm, which they took care of. But point is, that's two people I know.
Pfizer, right?
Pfizer.
Yeah, you'll never read about that in the newspapers.
Probably not. Melt up. That's another one of those phrases. I keep bringing these phrases on board.
Yeah. You're doing a great job of it.
Melt up. I need you to make sure you're sitting down, not squeaking as you're sitting, but sitting down and listening to these numbers. Everybody needs to listen to these numbers. They're unbelievable. A record $576 billion has flown into equity funds since November, 5 months or so, right? More than the $452 billion that was seen moving into equity funds over the last 12 years combined.
12 years, it was only four something?
452 net. Yep. So your net, what's in, what's out, what's in, what's out. That's what the story shows. That was a Bank of America piece on this. And this is some reports are in the same report. They're talking about kicking off the second quarter with the second highest earnings multiple in more than 100 years for markets. Many traditional market top signals, ranging from retail investors to surveys to valuations, are flashing amber. Flashing amber. I'm getting kind of achy, by the way.
None of this sounds very good.
I can tell you the market today, just again, another day, just like yesterday, that things weren't doing so well and just started moving up. There was a point that the Dow Jones was down 175 points today and just started just cruising higher throughout the day. The NASDAQ was just ripping higher. It's just money just is like just religiously pouring into the markets. Almost starts the same way every day. We have a little something of news, drops down, goes up a bit in the morning, comes down at about 10, 10:30, and then off to the races.
Huh.
Yep. Plenty of money. Oh, this is a great story. I think you're going to like this. Rolls-Royce motor cars. You know those. You have one, right?
Oh, yeah. I wish.
Yeah. Had his best quarter in 116-year history.
Well, that's not a good thing.
Why is that? What do you mean?
I mean, it sounds to me as though when people are just cranking it, buying Rolls, that's like, sounds like there's too much money out there to just being, I don't know. It just doesn't sound right.
They set a new record of sales recorded in the first quarter as the world wealthy snapped up.
Not a cheap car.
$330,000 SUV and other models. The luxury car company, which owns BMW, delivered 1,380 cars in the first quarter. That's it. 1,380. I think that's less than Tesla. Up 62%, right?
Can't be sure, though.
Up 62% for the same quarter in 2020 as the pandemic started. New record for the company, surpassing the previous high in 2019. The company said demand is especially strong for the Cullinan. It's nearly 3-ton SUV that starts at 335, but typically sells over 400,000 with options and customization. Sales are also...
You know, Rolls-Royce SUV just seems dumb.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You going to go off-roading with it?
Yeah. Seems unlikely.
Let's climb up those rocks with my Rolls. No, I don't think so. Nope. Sales are also very strong for the Ghost model, which starts at $332, which has an optional LED lit interior roof to simulate a starry sky. I have that in my car, by the way. Not this price tag. I have the BMW, but it has also a...
Yeah, I know you have a BMW. It has a starry roof?
Yeah. So
why?
I don't know. It came with the car. It's not like I use it that often, but you have to... It's like the sunroof, which goes, I don't know, 3/4 of the length of the car, I think, at least. And then when your lights are on, and I have all these choices of colors for the whole car, when the lights are on, let's say I have like a purplish color. Well, there's the purple lights around the doors and around the floors, and the roof is like a starry purple. Little dots of purple.
That's interesting.
Yep. Yep.
You never use it, you say?
I've used it a few times. I'm like, hey, check out this roof. And then that's it. You know, I mean, I don't know. I keep it. I've always thought that in Florida, you have the sunroof is the stupidest thing ever because you open that thing up. It's like, I can't breathe. Let's close everything down. Or if you open up the slider, the protector, the shade, it gets hot as hell in the car. My car's black as it is.
Oh, and you have a black car. It makes it worse.
Right. All right. We got a dumb idea by Best Buy. Best Buy Beta. Triple B, Best Buy is unveiling a new membership program that offers benefits including free installation and unlimited technical support as it looks to expand beyond just selling products and keeping pace, of course, with Amazon. It said the pilot dubbed Best Buy Beta, which will be turned into Best Buy Plus, I'm sure, is available in 60 stores at the end of the month and includes exclusive pricing, up to 2 years of protection on most purchases, free deliveries on a concierge service that's available to answer questions 24 hours a day will cost $199 per year.
Jeez. Who the hell needs that aggravation?
I don't even understand why you would do this.
I don't know. I mean, there's a reason. Amazon stuff, there's a reason for it. Shipping.
Right.
Everything's shipped and you get it shipped a little faster and you get it shipped for free. So, you know, if you buy a lot of stuff from Amazon, it pays for itself. And you also get a movie service. You get Amazon Prime.
And music.
And music if you want music, sure.
And you even have like photo share. You have a hard drive space.
That's right. You have a hard drive space. I never used that, but I probably should. Old hard drive space on the cloud is free space.
The other thing is that a lot of times with Best Buy, if you order over a certain amount, maybe it's $50 or something. It's free delivery. So most of this stuff, I mean, I buy paper clips. Like it used to be, let me think of all the things I need. Let me bulk it all up, put into one order. So I just pay one delivery price. Right now I'm like, I need that one pen for, $1.20 or whatever it is. Right. Click shows up for free.
Yeah. Well, I will give you a Best Buy tip.
Oh,
yeah, when I bought something, last time I bought something from Best Buy, they asked me if I could find it. Have I seen it online cheaper? Because they'll give me that price. Fry's used to do something like this.
Is Fry's still around?
But they don't. They went out of business.
Oh, they did?
Now they're totally. I don't know if they're completely out of business, but they're pretty much out of business. But you go to Best Buy and you say, "No, I don't have a cheaper price." They'll tell them, and then you can say to them, "You don't have to, but you probably should say, can you look it up for me and see if there's anything, if there's a cheaper price online?" And they'll do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They went online, found a price that was a lot cheaper than what they were selling it for, and gave me that price.
Yeah, that's the way. There was the time
I thought it was great.
You could still just show them an Amazon price, and they'll match that as long as it is from Amazon, not a third-party seller. And then sometimes they'll even break.
Well, they went and I don't know where they found this price, but it wasn't an Amazon. They found some competitor, and it was cheaper.
So who do you have for electronics out there now if Fry's isn't around, besides Best Buy? Well, that's it.
No one. No place. Yeah. I mean, there's still a Lashers in Berkeley, a real old-fashioned, electrical engineers place where they sell all kinds of stuff, that tubes, things like that. That you can buy resistors and diodes, but no, there's nothing really.
Mm. Yep.
There's not even any stereo places anymore. The area used to be crawling with them.
Yeah. It's sad.
Store, which is about it.
I had my tech guy come in and he was like apoplectic about my studio machine. He's like, it doesn't have a certain trusted chip thing in it. And you know what? You're talking to your network. I'm like, yeah, but it's not open. I don't do anything on this. We don't really have it connected and it's kind of standalone. But oh my God, he went on and on. We built this machine. It's a powerhouse, this thing. He's like, you got to buy a Dell or something like that, a business ready something or other something.
I'd fire the guy.
Yeah. Well, he works for free. So he's a friend of mine. But anyway.
Well, he works for free. Yeah. Well, that's what you get.
Yeah. Weekend BS.
He's working on commission. He's not working for free.
Maybe. Weekend BS. Tweets from the crisp. I call them the crypto priests. They are trying to, or the crypto evangelists. The tweet came out like this. Banks are closed. Brokers are closed. But Bitcoin is open. Trying to somehow convince us that you can't do transactions with old line finance on the weekends. I'm like, listen. So I wrote him, like, listen, do me a favor. Here's what we're going to do. You give me your Zelle account, and I'll give you my Bitcoin account, or vice versa. And we'll send a certain amount of money, you know, the equivalent of, you know? And let's see who gets there first. Now, we know that with Bitcoin, normal Bitcoin transaction, not the Lightning and all that, but the normal everyday Bitcoin, it could take 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes to get there. And you're just sitting the whole time sweating to make sure it gets there. Whereas Zelle, it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
And I could do that all day, all night, whenever I want. So this whole thing is, you know, they constantly are coming up with these ideas, trying to convince everybody. Like, for example, another one this weekend was every country in the world needs to adopt Bitcoin as their core currency. And that will change the world. Well, of course it will change the world, because it's going to
change the world.
It's going to break the world is what it's going to do. It's only 22 million. It's only what? 21 million total Bitcoins that are going to be minted. How is that going to make room for the whole world? What it will do is it's going to change his world, because it will take the money value compared to the dollar up from 62,000, 63,000, probably to 500,000 per Bitcoin. Well, who the hell wants to deal with that? And then I was this weekend at the Salvation Army. I was giving away, as I was reading some of these things on my phone, I was giving some old things away to Salvation Army. And I saw three guys standing there. It was just like, I don't know, it was Sunday morning early. And they clearly were hard on, you know, down on their luck. And I was thinking, should I ask them if they take Bitcoin? should I see how that works out?
And see maybe, what their wallet. Yeah, get their wallet.
Do you have a Bitcoin wallet? Can I give you like maybe $50? Let me help you out. No. So, anyway, I did give them money, but cash. They were very appreciative of that. So anyway, now you have an article on Substack that you are talking about images and politics, and how things get twisted around.
Well, I'm making the point that nowadays you can use skewed images of people to really affect the way the person, you know, like, for example, use an ugly picture of someone consistently and you try to be objective in the article. The ugly picture is worth, you know, a thousand words for sure. And that's what they do. And the reason I got triggered to do that column was because of a couple of pictures of your buddy down there in Florida, Matt Gaetz.
Oh, gosh.
Who's in trouble.
Gosh.
Or might not be in trouble. The whole thing could be a scam from what I'm reading. But it's beside the point. The New York Times prints a couple of black and white. It's a color publication. A couple of weird black and white pictures of this guy making him look like some evil character. And no, we're very objective. Yeah, sure you are. Why'd you use those pictures? There's plenty of pictures of Matt Gaetz around. Matt Gaetz around. And so I just went off on this idea and had a couple of examples of what you can do with Photoshop. And Photoshop, you can really have some fun with. And
what is the name of that publication in France that unfortunately people got killed because they did a very bad caricature of Muhammad.
Usually Muhammad.
Remember that guy, the French, what was the name of that French newspaper? Or the French?
Yeah, Hebdo.
Yeah, Hebdo, yeah. So, you know, that's the kind of thing they do, those kind of pictures. If they do, you know, they're trying to twist and stretch and maneuver. You had some pictures of Trump in there that were pretty amazing that you found and all that. So anyway, so people should go over to look at this article on John's...
Dvorak.substack.com. Yep. Dvorak.substack.com.
Finally, on this section, we'll talk about crypto for a minute. Coinbase is going public tomorrow. Massive, about $1 billion valuation. I happen to hear a little segment on it tonight by Jim Cramer. And he said, hey, listen, Coinbase, great company. I love this. And, you know, he's talking fast. And he says, listen, it's going to open up. It's going to be very volatile. It could come down. It can go up. I think the valuation on the top end is
back up the truck.
Yeah, 475. It may open at somewhere north of 300. You should buy on the open. I'm like, oh, what kind of advice is that? Unless it's somebody that's trying to short on that deal. But okay. So he says, you should buy on the open and buy it, you know, maybe part of the position that you would own with it. And if it comes down, you should buy more. But if it goes up, hold on, you know, don't buy it above 475. I'm thinking, oh my God, it's the indications were 250 to begin with. Maybe they're going to be 350 tomorrow, I guess, or so when it comes out. The symbol's COIN, C-O-I-N. Watch that tomorrow. Direct listing. Problem with direct listings is there's no lockup period because the shareholders are going to sell and that could come crashing down. But he said, listen, it's going to be very volatile, but something you want to own for long term. So keep on buying it as it comes out. So I don't know. And the main thing is that their numbers are remarkable. Amazing revenue growth, obviously, over the last 6 months. And the one thing that I find really weird about this is what we call new fintech, right? DeFi, decentralized finance, right? This is what we call this?
Yeah.
And they're doing an IPO on the old markets in exchange for US dollars.
Yeah, why do that?
Isn't there something a little weird about that?
That's funny. Yeah, let's get out.
In Bitcoin as the currency of the future. By the way, we're selling our shares in dollars.
That's the irony is not does not escape me.
You can donate to the show. Go over to dhunplugged.com. Click on the little yellow button. Help us out with all the things that we do for you. Like, for example, the thing we're going to talk about right now. And we had a little glitch in the system for some reason. Someone who thought they won didn't win, but the pricing was all wacky. But we cleared it up. And we have a winner for the close to the pin for GameStop. And the final price was $158.36. And our winner came in 14 cents away.
It's unbelievable.
On GameStop. Tim D, who is, he runs some mushing tours up in lower northern Michigan. He invited us up to do a few day, we could be mushers.
I've been on a sled.
You have?
And I'll tell you that, yeah, up in Finland. And, I'll tell you the one thing about it that you don't really expect. Those dogs go like a bat out of hell. They go a lot faster than you think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, but it's fun.
Yeah, we're going to send the DH Unplugged t-shirt. Two more things on the list here real quick. Tweet from Muddy Waters. We got the real insiders here. Another great catch by at @unusual_whales. Speaker Pelosi purchased a bunch of Microsoft on 319, closing price of 230. On 331, Microsoft wins a $22 billion Army contract, which then gained about 8% in the close.
That's pretty creepy.
Mm-hmm. That and all, there was in the money call options that her husband and her husband owns, I think, a venture capital firm. They're worth about $115 million. Well,
yeah,
I would be too if I was able to get this inside information. But this is the kind of things that go on in your Congress.
There's not much you can do about it either.
Yep. All right, we got one quick limerick. I don't know how this is going to work. We'll see. This is more of a COVID limerick. Here we go. It's from me. I entered this. Chat room, you can grade this as we go along here. All right. Andrew already got sick. The COVID he quickly did lick. But he goes for the shot as JCD explains why not. Now he feels like a big stupid dick.
That's cute. I'll give you an A. You figured out how to do these things.
Like it. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk.
along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
There you go. Quick update. I'm starting to feel feverish. Just letting you know.
Yeah, well, you're probably going through exactly what happened last time.
Yep. You want to read through these?
Well, let me take a look. It's like a mixed bag, except for those early picks that we did last year, where we're just rocking it from 320 to 920. With the 60% up, 90% up, 60% up, 30% up, 47, 63. Then this gold trust kind of crapped out. And then we go back on track with Honeywell and United Parcel and NXP. All did well. Now, but in this year, we have not really been knocking it out of the park.
No.
By any means. So far, the best one is MUDS.
GameStop.
Well, my GameStop short, but I consider that a joke.
It made on it, I think, every time.
It didn't get kicked off this time, so I can't do it again.
Right.
But it keeps making money, yep. And it's in pretty good shape. You have a series here that looks like they should have been kicked off and weren't.
Which one?
Oh, that's where we're at. We're
20%. You want to go back to 10? We go back to 10?
No, we'll leave it at 15 for a while.
You can cut it in half.
15. Let's go to 15.
15 in the future. Okay, we'll do that in the future, not for the stuff that's on there.
No.
Right.
I'm stunned that Babcock and Wilcox Enterprises got kicked you need this company. I thought we were doing infrastructure with all this money.
Yep.
I don't get that, but okay. Everything else is dubious.
I have one pick for this week. It's a long shot once again in the 13 range. When I picked this earlier today, it was only up about 2%. It closed up 5.7% as some of the excitement was coming back to the Momo names. Down at 1307 from a high of much higher. And these guys build EV trucks in the cargo space. And they were waiting on, if you recall, a contract from the post office. And that contract was given to, what a letdown. I don't remember the name where it was given to. Another company. And now they're looking into that. And they're looking into possibly expanding it. They're looking into possibly pulling it. Because part of that deal was that we need electric. And some of it's not electric. It's hybrid. It's non-hybrid. So I'm going to go with Workhorse Group again and see what happens here.
Well, okay. Well, I have one. It's just... one of these acquisition companies called New Providence, NPA, because somebody just sunk $25 million into it, and it's been up as high as 25, 26, 27, and it's down to 11. I think its high was...
Wait. What is the symbol?
NPA.
M.
N is in Nancy. NPA. Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi Action.
NPA, I have as... Alphanet at 7 cents.
No, that's probably a good buy though.
What's it called? What's it called?
7 cents.
What's yeah?
That is indeed a penny stock.
Yeah. What's the name of the stock you're thinking of?
New Providence Acquisition Corporation, NA, and it's an NPA.
Let's see. New Providence Acquisition NPA.
What was your other NPA? It was on the Pinks? Where'd you get that 7 cent stock? What was the name of it?
Why stock? The stock. New Providence Acquisition Corp. approved business combination of AST and Science. The new symbol. Oh boy. What's the date of this? 12 days ago. There was a merger. AST Sciences. So now there's a new. NPA. That's correct. What did I do wrong? Wait a second. NPA. I don't know what I'm doing wrong here. I'll have to look this up. NPA. Alphanet. What is that? There's something, I don't know. Maybe it changed symbols. I'll look at this, but this is not there. So it's going to be buyout company. I saw it somewhere, but buyout.
Well, you're the 7 cent stock. We lost it.
Yeah. I'll figure this out. I'll figure out what's going on with this.
Don't put the 7 cent stock on there too.
Well, I can't because that was the other one. NPA. But NPA comes up here. Let's go back for a second here. New Providence acquisition. It's only on Yahoo. New Providence acquisition. NPAUU. NPAUU. Let's try that. NPAUU. Enter. Now, I don't know. I'll look it up.
All right. Figure it out.
All right. And otherwise, I'll see you next week if I'm still alive.
Oh, you'll be fine.
I'm just saying. So we'll cut it right here.
1 or 2 years older, you'll probably be dead.
Thanks. All right. See you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Advertisements are not related to the host or affiliates and are not considered recommendations by the host of the show or any affiliates of Horowitz and Company.